James chapter 5. The writer is the brother of Jesus. He says, "Go to now, ye rich men, weep and howl for your miseries that shall come upon you. Your riches are corrupted, your garments are moth-eaten, your gold and silver is cankered, the rust of them shall be a witness against you, and shall eat your flesh as it were fire. Ye have heaped treasure together for the last days. Behold, the hire of the laborers who have reaped down your fields, which is of you kept back by fraud, crieth, and the cries of them which have reaped are entered into the ears of the Lord of Sabaoth. You have lived in pleasure on the earth and been wanton. You have nourished your hearts as in a day of slaughter." Now, I want to make it clear, God is not opposed to wealth. God does, being rich is not a sin. Having money is not a sin. Having pleasure, luxuries is not a sin.
Amen.
But what is being condemned here is the manner in which some people get those riches. Because remember that having wealth is a good thing because it gives us the ability to do more for God.
Amen.
We can give, and we have the freedom of time where we can serve and be active in ministry. So being rich is not a bad thing. Don't get the idea that that's what James is saying here. But if we rob others, we steal, and we're greedy, and we're obsessed with our possessions, that's a problem. And we need to make sure that our heart's in the right place, that our focus is on God, that we're sensitive to God's leadership, that we're not spending money we should, or doing things that we shouldn't. And, of course, if we're coveting or cheating or stealing, then we shouldn't. Nobody has to spell that out. I don't have to pray about it. God, should I steal this?
Amen.
Don't pray about that. You don't steal it. Should I cheat? No, that's not even a prayer thing. We don't have to pray about everything. Some things God has made very clear to us that are outside the bounds. And so, if we're being greedy and dishonest in our effort to gain financially, if we're taking advantage of people, then James said we're in trouble. But really, here's my question. What if it was all gone? What if all of our stuff was gone? Are we holding on so tightly that we can't imagine our lives without our stuff? It's incredible to me, and I'm not trying to criticize anyone, but I see people who take their stuff and they move from place to place and they put that stuff in storage everywhere they go. They've spent so much money on storage units they could have bought brand new everywhere they went. But they want to let go of their stuff. I'm not talking about family heirlooms. I'm not talking about something that belongs to your grandmother. I'm talking about junk. But you won't let go of it. And it goes along this way. Well, that's not being rich. You're right, it's not being rich. We're cheating ourselves out of our peace and finances. But what if all you had left, all we had left, was our faith? Our relationship with God. Nothing else. That's it. That's all we got. Because in the end, that's all we got. That's all we got. It's our relationship with God. When we stand before God, the only advantage we're going to have is what we have done in faith. He's not going to ask how much money we've got in the bank. He's not going to ask even how much we've given or how much stuff we have. How much do we enjoy all of our stuff? The question comes down to how is my relationship with my Heavenly Father and my Savior? That's what matters. Verse number 7. He says, "Be patient, therefore, brethren, to the coming of the Lord." Are we mindful that one day we're all going to stand before God? We must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. The Bible says that plain.
Yeah.
And when we stand there, we'll be judged of things which we've done in this body, whether they be good or whether they be evil. But the first thing to know is there's going to be two judgments. One for those who have put their faith in Christ, and one for those who have rejected the Savior that God sent. And so the first question is, which judgment will you be attending? Where are you going to be in judgment? At the judgment seat of Christ or at the great white throne? Will you stand before Him as His child, as one who has surrendered your life and accepted His salvation? Or will you stand as one who rejected Him and like the one fellow said, well, I don't know, so I'll just wait till I get there and ask God. It'll be too late.
None.
The Bible says those whose names were not found written in the book of life were cast into the lake of fire. I won't get my name in that book. How about you?
Yeah.
How do you get your name in that book? Y'all, how many of you when you were kids in school, they sent that stuff trying to get you to put your name in the who's who? Y'all remember that stuff? The who's who? And you know what? If you'll send $65, we'll put your name in a book. And I was so excited. My dad said, Derek, they want $65. That's all it's about. I get a phone line. You get your name in the phone book. It's not a big deal. But I can remember I was like 12 years old. And I thought, well, my name's going to be in the who's who. Hey, that's fine if your name's in who's who. My name's in the book of life. How about yours?
Amen.
Whoever's name is not in that book will be cast out into the lake of fire. We've got to put our faith in Christ. Again, we started by saying, a lot of times we are holding on to possessions and holding on to wealth, or we're spending all of our lives trying to make money, trying to live more comfortably. I want to be comfortable. Nothing wrong with being comfortable. But we've got to balance it out and make sure that we're being generous with what God's given us, that we're being a blessing to others, and that we're not focused on so much on making money that we're even cheating people and taking advantage of people and abusing the blessings and the talent that God's given us.
Amen.
We need to be patient for the coming of the Lord. Be patient. Would you be ready if the Lord said it's time now? If He came today, if He interrupted church and called us all to heaven, are you ready to stand before Him? Or would you be called to heaven, or would you be left behind without faith? Have you not trusted Christ? Right now, from your heart to God's heart, you can call out and say, God, I know I'm a sinner.
Amen.
And I know Jesus died on the cross for my sins and rose from the grave the third day. I put my faith in Jesus and ask you to forgive my sins and save my soul. You see it? Can you see it in your mind? Get the book out, put your name in there.
Amen.
In the book of life. There's your name. Because you're saved. Because you've accepted Christ as your Savior. Be patient, verse 7. Brethren, to the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waited for the precious fruit of the earth. So the husbandman, understand, this is the keeper of the field. This is the farmer, if you will. The keeper of the grove. He says, he waited for the precious fruits of the earth and had long patience for it until he received the early and latter rain. All the work of the husbandman is focused on that one event. All of it is about the time of harvest. How much yield will there be? Let's just say apples. Will there be a bunch of them? Will every tree be full and overflowing? And what else is important? What's the quality of that apple? What's the quality of that fruit?
Amen.
And the husbandman labors, and he's mindful of the harvest, and his work, his effort is in that field and in that harvest. He's always looking at the end. A lot of times we're focused on today, aren't we? You know, if he'd look at the tree, he'd leave that field fussing, wouldn't he? Kicking dirt. Can't believe there's no apples on it. Well, they're not. It's not time yet. We're wanting God to give us the fullness of our blessing now. It's not time yet.
Amen.
It's still preparation time. We're still looking, and we should look patiently. Quality of the fruit. The quantity of fruit, it depends on some things, doesn't it?
Amen.
It depends on rain. Anybody in here can control that? It depends on sunlight. No control over that? Depends on the temperature. Obviously, nobody can control that. Hot, cold. We can't control that, can we? No control. Well, we're controlling it here, probably a little too cold for some of you. We can't control that out in the field. What can I control? I can control how I prepare the field.
Amen.
And I can control the seed that I choose to plant. The Bible talks about a vineyard keeper, and it says that he chose just exactly the right seed. You know, you talk about grapes. You can go all over the world and find different varieties of grapes. And you find just that right one. It's just exactly what you want. And you take that seed, but then you have to prepare the soil so that it will grow the same in that soil as it did in the other place. The soil is going to make a difference. So the biggest impact I can have is preparing the field. The seed is not my choice.
No.
You see, as a sower of the Lord, I plant the seed that God gives me. I'm sowing the gospel. I'm sharing the message of Jesus.
No.
The hope, the love, the forgiveness. That's the message that I'm sharing. My Savior. I can't really make a difference in that. So the biggest difference is preparing the field.
Amen.
When you came to church this morning, did you prepare your heart for worship? While you were on your way here, were you preparing your heart to be in the presence of God and His people? Were we preparing our hearts to sing songs of praise and worship? Were we preparing our hearts for the prayer and the burdens and needs of our brothers and sisters when we prayed? When they called on us to approach the throne of God on their behalf?
Amen.
Were we preparing our hearts for the message from the Word of God? Did you say to God at some point this morning, God, use the time we have in church, help me to grow, challenge me, inspire me, make me better for having been? I want us to be better when we leave than we were when we showed up. Oh, maybe there's no real nugget that you've learned, but maybe been reminded and challenged to use that which you already know. The husbandman is focused on the harvest. He's focused on the harvest before he puts the plow on the ground. He's focused on the harvest before he puts the shovel on the ground. He's focused on the harvest before he chooses the fields to work in. He's focused on the harvest. Guys, in our lives, we've got to be thinking about the time when we stand before God. Should have sung that song this morning. Thank you. Remember that song?
Thank you, Lord.
There you stood. All those people who have been touched by your life standing there to support you when it was your time for judgment.
Amen.
We talk about judgment. And it is appointed the man wants to die and after this the judgment. Brother Malcolm got to heaven last night. You know he's not been judged yet. And they let him in because he's born again.
Amen.
But he's not stood in judgment yet. You know why? Because the people that Brother Malcolm influenced are now using their influence to influence others.
Amen.
And I hate to use the term, but you think about these pyramid schemes. And so the person at the top, they get a benefit out of everybody that's in their downline. Know something. You know the saints of the Old Testament have not been judged yet. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Paul, Silas, Barnabas, they haven't been judged yet. Abraham hadn't been judged yet. You know why? Because they still have an influence.
Amen.
They're not, their influence has not fulfilled yet.
Amen.
You imagine what happens when you stand before God if you've really been sharing the gospel and you've been telling people about Jesus and you've been living out your faith. You stand before God and all those people that have been impacted by your life may be standing around you. Won't that be incredible? people you don't even know because you reach somebody that reached them.
Amen.
That's how it works. And so we're thinking about the harvest. You see, it's, I want you to go to heaven, but it's not just that I want you to go to heaven. I want you to reach people so they can go to heaven.
Amen.
We can't let it stop with us. We're looking at some times in our country where it seems like it kind of stopped with some people, and they stop thinking about the end or the next generation, and they're just thinking about themselves. And so they're robbing and pillaging and taking advantage with no thought of a future America, just what they can put in their pockets. We're in trouble. We can't do that as a church. We can't be satisfied today with how it is today. We've got to think about the next generation.
Amen.
We've got to think about what they're going to have. We've got to raise them right. We've got to teach them right. They've got to know the doctrine. We've got to hold on to those old paths, if you will. We've got to think about the harvest. We've got to prepare the ground. There are people around you when you're preparing the ground. If you've ever told them about Jesus, or ever expect to tell them about Jesus, you are preparing the ground. Every morning when you come in and they see you, you're preparing the ground. Every day as they see you work and they see your work ethic and they hear your mouth and they see your attitude, you're preparing the ground. The way you talk about your family is preparing the ground. The way you talk about your boss is preparing the ground. The way you talk about your employees is preparing the ground. The way you talk about your church is preparing the ground. The way we talk about our Savior is preparing the ground. And what's happening in that ground of their hearts, and then one day you come along and you say, hey, do you know my Jesus?
Amen.
How have you prepared the ground? Do they want your Jesus? Is your faith one worth having? Or are you more miserable than they are? They say, well, if I had your faith to be as miserable as you are, I don't want that. Or do they look at you and say, I've never met anybody that had more peace and more love and more hope and more glow and more joy and more confidence in their faith than you.
Amen.
You're preparing the ground. Our lives, our faithfulness, our consistency, hope, love, mercy, joy, is preparing others to receive Christ. Our patient expectation of the end of our faith. Guys, I'm not working hard in order to get to heaven. I'm not living out my faith so that I'll be deemed worthy of heaven. I'm not worthy of heaven.
Amen.
But by the blood of Jesus, He's forgiven my sins. He's washed my sins away. He didn't cover them. He didn't store them. He washed them away. I stand before you forgiven.
Yep.
And you could be too.
Amen.
When you put your faith into the Savior. See, the way we treat others impacts our ability to reach others. Look at what he says in verse number 9. He says, grudge not one against another, brethren. If we have a problem with somebody, we need to talk to them about it. I don't like the way you X, Y, Z. Be prepared that when you tell somebody you don't like the way they did it, that they just don't care, that you don't care. Don't like it. But get it off your chest. Just go ahead and get off your chest. Because if you just keep carrying around this grudge, well, I don't like the way they did it. Well, tell them. Don't tell everybody else. Tell them. Huh. I probably told you the story of that a couple of months ago. Somebody put something on Facebook. And they were complaining about something that I directly could have controlled if it was really a problem. But they were just complaining on Facebook. Somebody called me and said, what do you want me to do? I said, give them my phone number. Do you think they ever called me?
No.
Not until I reached out directly and said, can I help you? Guys, deal with the person that can fix it. Don't just complain. And by the way, when I finally did reach out to them, and they said, oh, this was not about you and your people. It was about somebody else. Anyway, funny how that works. Talk to the person you have a problem with. Not everybody else. The Facebook can't solve your problems. You've got friends that you can call. And if you say, well, I'm going to put this on here, maybe Derek will see it. Call Derek.
Amen.
And let me remind you, I don't listen to text beams at night. If you want to talk to me at midnight, call me. Now, if it can wait till morning, text me. But if it's something I need to know, call me. I'm happy to answer the phone. All hours of the night, doesn't matter. But, I mean, make it legit, please. I mean, that's cool. Yeah. Don't get carried away, right? But call me if you need. If you feel like it's important for you to call me, call me. If you can wait till morning, text me. But talk to the person that can actually do something about it.
Amen.
Grudge not one against another. You know why? Because when people come in here and we're fussing with each other and we've got attitude and, well, don't shake their hand. I'm not talking to them. They're not going to want to come back. I wouldn't want to be a part of a church like that. I want everybody to love everybody and get along with everybody and, you know, rag on everybody. We should be able to leave church and brag about what a great church we've got.
Amen.
It's going to make a difference. And look at verse 8. We didn't read it, but it says, the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. We're one day closer, aren't we?
Amen.
My question is, do we behave as Christians? Are we living our lives as Christians? Look at verse 13. Is any among you afflicted? You got a problem? Pray!
Amen.
There's an idea. Talk to God before you talk to anybody. Talk to God before you tell anybody about your problems. Is any merry? Sing.
Amen.
How many of you sing outside of church? All right, a few of you. You sing to Paul and Silas. We saw on Sunday school this morning. Paul and Silas were beaten, thrown into an inner prison, locked in the stocks. And at midnight, the Bible says, they saw him. They were praising God. They were rejoicing in a terrible situation, but they rejoiced in it. Is any Mary sing? Look at verse 14. Is any among you sick? Let them call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him. Well, we have prayer time in here. That's biblical.
Amen.
You got a prayer burden? Share it among the people in the church, it says. You got a need? Call on the leaders of the church. It's amazing to me the people who don't want anything to do with God until you say, can I pray for you? And then they're going to pray for them. Pray for them. Pray for them. He said, call on the elders of the church and let them pray. Verse 16, confess your faults one to another. And pray one for another. I was thinking about that this morning. You know, who are the people that are closest to me? Who can I tell anything to? Y'all have some people you can tell anything to? You just tell them anything, just whatever. I mean, birds, whatever it is. Are there people in your life you can confess everything to? We need those people. He said, confess your faults one to another. Admit when you're wrong. How many of you can admit when you're wrong? Somebody said, I've never been wrong. Oh, no, I guess I could have. I realized. Confess. I was wrong the other day. It wasn't a pivotal moment. It happens all the time. But I told my wife, I was wrong. And after the ambulance left, she woke up and recovered. She just kept talking. I said I was wrong. I admit it, I was wrong. She wasn't prepared for it. She had no idea I would ever do that. Confess your faults one to another. And then he says this and pray for one another.
Amen.
When you, at some point in your day, do you name the brothers and sisters of your church? Do you name your family? Do you name your friends? If you have employees, do you name your employees? If you have a boss, do you name your boss? Look, I don't know about you. It's a blessing if your boss knows Jesus.
Yeah.
And wants to serve God and wants to do the right thing. And your employees, and your co-workers, and your spouse, and your children, and all your neighbors. Pray for one another. And then he says this, and we're finished. In verse number 19, brethren, if any of you do err from the truth, and one convert him, let him know that he which converteth the sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death. Shall hide a multitude of sins.
Amen.
Yeah.
We can do a lot of good with the blessings of God in our lives financially. We've got to make sure that we have a balance so that we're not so focused on making money that we don't make a life.
No.
And we don't make a difference. Because you know people and you have talents that enable you to reach someone that others could not reach. There are people who listen to you, but they won't listen to me. Because they'll say, well, he's a pastor, that's his job. He's supposed to tell people about Jesus. So they think I'm just
working. But when you tell them about Jesus, they realize it's because you care. So you've got to do it too. I've got to do it. We've all got to do it. And keep an eye on the harvest. Imagine, if you will, in your mind right now, that grove of trees. Are they full of fruit? Sweet fruit? Or has something in our preparation gone wrong? Did we not prepare the hearts? Did we not live well? So that when we planted that seed, so that when we told that person about Christ, they dismissed it. You say, well, Pastor, because of who I am, they'll never believe me because I'm such a sinner. But that's the great thing, is that we could go to work tomorrow and see our friends tomorrow and say, I just want you to know something's happened in my life. I have accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior. I've repented of my sin. I'm not the person you used to know. God has changed me. And I'm going to ask you to do something for me, friend. If you see me slip back in the old ways, I want you to tell me. Keep me accountable. Let's stand. Father, we love you. We thank you for Jesus, the time that we've had in your house this morning. I pray that now in this time of invitation, if there's anyone here without the knowledge, the assurance of salvation, that right now you'll grip their hearts and draw them, give them the words, and give them the desire. Or if there's someone who's backslidden and they're ready to get right now, I pray that they'll see that it is a safe place for them to change. Maybe someone's realized their priorities are out of whack and it's time to balance out. I pray that they'll see the opportunity right now. Save souls, change lives. We ask in Jesus' name, amen. The altar's open if you want to come and kneel and pray. If you want me to pray with you, I'll be glad to do that. You can reach God from where you are right now. Talk to Him from your heart to God's heart. God, forgive my sins. God, save my soul. God, I give myself to you. It's your opportunity. Thank you. Amen. Thank you. Anything before we're dismissed? Again, we're glad you're here this morning. Hope you'll come back tonight, 6 o'clock, Wednesday night, 7 o'clock. Workday Saturday, senior lunch Tuesday. Lots going on. As soon as we have some arrangements, we'll send it out by, if it's acceptable by Facebook, we'll see what Sister Denise wants. Otherwise, by email, text, whatever, okay? But we'll try to keep everybody informed. Okay? Anything else? Love you. God bless you. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. I'm going to ask Michael Wright, would you dismiss us, please?